Thankful for God's word. Thankful for its truth. Glad we can worship together, share our burdens together, pray together, praise God together, you know, thank God together, and then getting God's word together. If you didn't know any better, you'd think God wants us to do things together. And I'm glad he put this church here long before many of us. Well, none of us, I don't think, were here when they were building it. But I'm glad God moved people to do that and then sent us here and brought us together. He's a good God and he knows what he's doing. But Romans chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 13. It says this, Romans 2:13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for already being with us tonight. Thank you for the songs and testimonies. Lord, I thank you for each one that's here tonight, knows that we'll be able to listen to this later. And Lord, I pray that your word would go out in power like you promised it would, that you would fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Allow me to be able to preach, Lord, and that you'd open up our ears and our hearts. And Lord, we thank you for what you have for us tonight. Lord, you're a good God. And Lord, I pray that it would touch hearts. And Lord, do the work in Jesus' name. And amen.
Amen.
So one of the things that makes us unique as a human being, you realize this world is trying to convince us that humans are no different than animals. But one of the things that is different is the fact that we have a conscience. You know, God has, and you think about a conscience for a minute, it is contrary to evolution, right? The world says we have evolved, and the reason you evolve is the stronger overtakes the weaker until the weaker goes away, and then you're left with stronger, and it keeps, you know, kind of refining itself or evolving itself. That's what this world says. But you think about the conscience. That doesn't help for evolution, does it? You know, if the conscience stops you from killing a weaker person, then it would, it's not following the pattern of evolution. So they're really, I'm sure they'll twist some way that it's a part of evolution, but it just doesn't make sense because God designed it. God designed the conscience, and what it really is kind of a spiritual warning system. And what it does is it kind of tells us right from wrong. I was listening to a pastor the other day, and he explained it like this. He said, you know, airplanes, they've got these sensors that when they're going to run into a mountain, it tells them to get up, to get higher. That warning bell goes off. And some of the newer cars, in fact, a lot of them have them now. If you're about to rear end somebody, it alarms you too. It says, hey, you need to hit the brakes or you're going to hit this car in front of you. That's what the conscience does. God has designed that to warn us, but instead of to warn us like a car, to warn us from crashing into the car in front of us, it's to warn us from crashing into sin. Because it's a mess. Sin is a mess. And sin, it's painful and it hurts. And that's what God is trying to keep us from doing. So, you know, one of the things you hear a lot of times is, well, what happens to the people that never hear the gospel? What happens to the people that never experience the Bible, never hear of Jesus Christ? How will God judge them? Because they didn't, you know, they didn't reject what they never heard. And, you know, that's a hard question. It is. There's no easy answers for that. But, you know, I trust God because he's a just God. He's a fair God. And he gives us different things in his word. He talks about even the nature itself, what he has created declares there's a God. And then there's this right here, the conscience is one of those other things that gives us a glimpse. If you see here in verse 14 that we read, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, so what he's saying right there is there's groups of people that never had the scriptures. They never had the Bible, you know, whether it's the Old Testament or New or both, they didn't have it. So you would say, now wait a second, how could somebody sin against God if they never had God's word, right? Now, couldn't you say that? Couldn't you say, God, there's no way that somebody could be held accountable for something they had no idea of? And we know in the next chapter, Romans 3:23, what's it say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yeah. Well, then you're stuck, right? You're saying, how could that be true? How could all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Yet, God, you admit there's a group of people that don't have the Bible. They don't know what sin is. So how on earth could they be held accountable? You see what this verse ends with? Verse 14. It says this, having not the law are a law unto themselves. So even though they don't have the Bible, it is telling us that their conscience tells them which directions are sinful. Now, the conscience, as we'll see, it's not perfect and it's not complete, but it's that warning system. It says, hey, wait a second. And it works because God programmed it within every human being. It works even without the Bible itself. And that's why he's saying right there, even if they don't have the Bible, it is written on their hearts. It's there. I'm going into the next verse. It continues, which showeth the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. So God makes it clear right here. He says, hey, even if you're ignorant of the Bible, you never knew it, you never heard of it, you never saw it, you've never had the law in front of you, you didn't have any of that. He says, it's no excuse because I wrote it on your heart and on your conscience. It's written there. Not because of evolution, God put it there.
Yes.
And it allows men to do by nature the things contained in the law. See, it doesn't say they can perfectly fulfill the law because, like I said, our conscience, it's not perfect, it's not complete. It doesn't have every single thing that's in God's Word, but it has enough there so that men can prevent from violating God's moral laws and especially the basic ones of morality. It's hard-coded in there. And we see the first time it's mentioned in the New Testament. You remember the story where the scribes and the Pharisees bring the woman taken in adultery and they're ready to stone her. And they're asking Jesus, what are we going to do with her? You know, the law says this. The law says to stone her. And then there's Jesus ignoring every one of their accusations, ignoring everything they're saying. He's stooping down. He's writing into the ground. And then John 8:7, Jesus says this, he that is without sin among you first cast a stone at her. And then after he says that, he continues writing again. We don't know what he wrote. The Bible doesn't tell us. But it does tell us the reaction of the crowd. In John 8:9, it says this, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. None of them could stone her that day. None of them. They all dropped their stones that day because they were looking at her sin and focusing on hers. But then Jesus was having them look at their own sin, and they realized, and see, this group included scribes and Pharisees. They did not agree with what Jesus said. That's why it wasn't Jesus' teaching that condemned, right? It doesn't say they were convicted by Jesus' teaching. They were convicted by their own conscience.
Yeah.
You see?
That's right.
They didn't believe Jesus, so it was written in there.
Yeah.
Even the ones that were deep in false religion, it was written in their conscience. Yeah. And we see right there, and it worked.
Yep.
And they dropped the stones.
Amen.
He put it in there. Jesus created it. The same Jesus that was teaching and the same Jesus that caused the conviction there, it was because of that same conscience that he put in their spirit. So then you would think, well, wait a second. Couldn't somebody be justified by their conscience? If it is a warning system, if it does keep them from doing these things, could they be justified? And look at verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. You say, well, couldn't they be justified if they just obeyed what it said, obeyed God's internal law in their hearts? No. Verse 16 says he'll judge their hearts and the secrets of men. But look at 15. Their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. What he's saying right there is, listen, remember what I said, the Gentiles, if they never had the law and they those times where they followed the conscience, it would excuse where they didn't follow every piece of God's word that they didn't have. But do you see what else it says? Sometimes it's excusing. But then other times, in their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing. You know why God can say all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, even though not everyone has the Bible? Because that conscience that's written in their heart, everyone goes against it. Right? They go against it. When it says, hey, don't do that, men not even knowing the Bible, not even knowing God, not even knowing Jesus Christ, he's written it in their heart, that warning light goes off and they say, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. They've committed a sin, and a sin that they didn't know about because of the Bible, but it's a sin because God said, hey, I warned you, and you did it anyway. That's why he's saying sometimes it excuses them because there are things they didn't do that God says, that's all right. I didn't program that in. But the things I did program in, that's going to accuse you, right? That's why even when they say, listen, how could they be held accountable for their sin? God says it right there. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even when Gentiles without the law disobey their conscience, they commit sin against God. But, I said, here's the problem with the conscience. It's not perfect. It's not complete. You know what else? It can be changed.
Yeah.
And it can be damaged.
Yes.
Titus 1:15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. And you know, the Bible, when it talks about it, it's almost one of the illustrations that we have, something we can think of, is if you've ever heard or you've ever experienced people that get addicted to drugs, what happens? As they do it more and more, they get desensitized to it. And what do they have to do? They have to take more drugs and more drugs to get the same effect. You got to keep ramping it up. Why? Because the Bible, or because the body and the mind and the nervous system and the brain and everything that it affects, it gets used to it and it doesn't affect it anymore. So they have to keep upping it and upping it and upping it. And they get less sensitive, so they need more of the drug each time. Guess what? Each time you ignore the conscience, each time you ignore that warning system, what happens? It gets weaker and weaker in that area. Have you noticed that before? Have you ever noticed where there used to be, you know, if you've ever had been in a pattern of a sin and you've ever, you know, just kept doing it for a while and noticed some of the first times, man, it was going off heavy. You know not to do this.
Yeah.
But then as time went on and you kept doing it, what happened? Yeah. That warning wasn't as loud anymore.
Right.
And finally, it'll get to the point where you just ignore it altogether.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Right. He's saying it's been damaged. It's been changed. But aren't you glad that even when the conscience fails, the Holy Spirit can come
through? Yeah.
Right? Amen. Even God can come through. Even when the conscience can become defiled. And what he's saying is when you start filling your mind with things that are against the Bible, that starts to damage the conscience as well. Do you realize that's what's happening to our nation, isn't it? Instead, there used to be in school, especially in lower grades, they used to use the Bible to learn. And it used to be a foundational thing where everyone learned the Bible different ways, but as we've replaced it and as our world is repulsed with God's word and God's truth, you see the knowledge and the wisdom of this world starts taking over and it starts damaging the conscience earlier and earlier in life. And you see they get to the point where some of the worst things, like you know abortion, is just appalling, isn't it? You are murdering a baby's life, but you look at this world, their conscience is not affected by it, right?
Right.
They're just saying it's an invading organism in a woman's body and you're just getting rid of the problem, right? That's what they say. There is nothing. No warning light goes off at all. That's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because God programmed that in. But the devil wants to deprogram it. He wants to ruin it. He wants to turn it off and desensitize it. That's why he wants to get in people's minds. And that's why he uses Hollywood. He uses everywhere, you know, political sphere. Uses public opinion and everything else to get everything. Because he wants people to be okay with sinning. Mm-hmm. That's what he wants.
That's right.
And living a life in sin. And then we've got another example, 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. There is a group that he's talking about that used to be in the faith. They used to be in the church. They used to be in Jesus Christ, but they've departed from it. Yeah. And see, at one time, their conscience would have warned them. And in fact, at the beginning, it would have warned them. Yeah. It would have went off and said, hey, this is bad. This is wrong. But after long enough of giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, they finally decide to abandon the truth and live a lie. And he says, once they get all the way in, their conscience is seared. It's done. It's burnt up. It doesn't work anymore. And that conscience isn't going to help them anymore to get them out of it. Right? Have you ever seen people that have turned into false religion and gotten so deep in it? Nothing affects them anymore. You give them the truth and it's like, no, this is right. I was living a lie back then, but now I figured it out. Conscience is seared. That's what he says. But like I said, what would it take to bring him back? A miracle from God, and it's the same miracle that saved him. It's the Holy Spirit touching and saying, hey, you got to wake up. You got to get out of there. You got to remember the things. And he can bring that back alive, and they can see the error of their ways. But that's why sin is so dangerous, right? That's why not being in God's Word, not filling our hearts and minds with the truth from the Bible, that keeps us rooted, that keeps us grounded, and it also keeps our conscience healthy.
Yes.
It's the same thing. That's why it's so dangerous when we forgo these things. But you see, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it's conscience. You won't find that word in the Old Testament, but it's one of the things I believe that's in the word, within the word heart. You see the word heart a lot. Heart and mind. Don't you see it throughout the Old Testament? I think heart, it's part of that. What did, listen to this. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me into the way everlasting. He's talking about saying, hey, Lord, help me. Make sure that there's not areas of my life where I am doing wickedness. And how he does that, he's saying, hey, re-energize my heart. Re-energize. My conscience to stop me and to let the warning lights go on. David's Psalm of Repentance, Psalm 51, is a beautiful psalm. He asks God to forgive him. He's asking him to forgive his sins. And you notice he's asking him for his joy back and everything else. And you see just a man that doesn't blame himself or doesn't blame God, but says it was me, every bit of it. And he asks for forgiveness, and that's what God listens to. But Psalm 51:10, he said this, create in me a clean heart. That's what he said. Oh God, and renew a right spirit with me. Get me back on track, he's saying.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus can fix a broken conscience.
Yes.
He can fix it. I'm glad. I'm glad God can. He can heal it. He can fix it through His Word.
Yes.
Through His Word. The devil, like I said, he wants us to be desensitized. He wants us to, be able to sin without any feeling. And there's a lot of people out there, but aren't you glad that Jesus died for our sins? Aren't you glad that He took the full punishment of our sins? And it was serious because you look at what the cross brought. And it's so painful to see people living this life as if the sin won't bother them or won't affect them or anything else. But I'll tell you what, it should just lead us to say, hey, I don't want to be one of those that goes the false way. I don't want to be those that get stuck in a sin and becomes okay with it. Lord, help me that I wake me up if I start to go down that road. Not only us, but I'll tell you who else we need to pray for. All these kids here.
Yes.
Because remember, like I said, I'm telling you what, there's a big difference even from when I went to school to when they're going to school. I've heard it. It's a big difference. And I'm telling you, we need to make sure they got a tender heart and that God still helps them with their conscience and says, hey, when the friends try to do something or when the temptation comes and the alarm bells go off, they stop and say, hey, I got to run from this.
Yes.
Right?
Run.
We need to do it in our life. We need it for them as well.
Right.
Our kids and our grandchildren. I'm telling you, the devil wants their conscience.
Amen.
He wants their mind. He wants them to be stuck into that and drug into the nastiness of sin as early on as possible.
Yeah.
And you know what our goal should be? Paul is giving his testimony before Felix in Acts 24. And he gets to verse 16 and he says this, And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. You know what he's saying right there? He's saying, listen, I want my conscience to be pure. And you know how he said I do that? What's he say? And herein do I exercise myself. Just as much as people go to the gym and lift weights and run and everything else, Paul's saying, I do that with my conscience. What do? I'm not building strong muscles. He said, but I get in this word. I meditate on it. I study it. Yeah. I hide it in my heart. I try to live by it. And because of that, it helps my conscience stay pure. And that is how I can make it in this life. I'm here to tell you, we've got to do the same thing. I want to live a life beyond reproach. Yeah. I don't want to give Jesus a bad name. I don't want to give this church a bad name. I don't want to make an excuse, even though it's not a good excuse. I don't want someone to say, hey, Mike, remember that preacher, Mike? He was doing great, and then all of a sudden just went off the rails. I don't want to be that man. I'll tell you what, if it's just relying on me, I will be that man. But I want to rely on Jesus Christ and His strength and His faith and His glory and wisdom and everything else. And I'll tell you what, it takes some exercise. That's what Paul's saying.
Yeah.
For each and every one of us.
Yep.
But aren't you glad?
Praise God.
Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad it's there? My goodness, sin is dangerous. It's nasty. And it hurts. Not just us, but those around us. And aren't you glad? God, just like the car, where some of them it flashes. I've had ones that say brake, you know, and it flashes and it beeps at you. And I tell you what, we've ran into, our conscience is imperfect. We had a car one time where I don't know what it saw, but we were driving through a parking lot and there was nothing in front of us. And it flashed and it beeped and we're just, you know, thinking, oh, well, I'll tell you what, next thing, we're slammed forward. It threw the brakes on because it was keeping us from something. I don't know what it saw, but there was nothing there. And I'll tell you what, sometimes we need that.
Yeah.
We need to,
right.
Aren't you glad God sometimes will slam on the brakes and say, hey, wait a second, what you're about to do is bad. But then it's at that point where we make the decision, right?
Yes.
Are we going to keep doing it or not? But can't you see and what God's word's talking about? Can't you see why this world is the way they are? The more they reject God's word, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
Because there's no feeling anymore. Mm-hmm. They don't think any of it's bad at all. And the devil loves that.
Yes.
But guess what, devil? It doesn't matter how bad you get somebody, and it doesn't matter even if you get them all the way to the seared conscience, God can touch their heart, He can touch their mind, He can bring things to remembrance, and those ones, because I guarantee as we talk about a seared conscience, whether it's with false religion or whether it's this world, we can think of names in our head, can't we? We can think of people, some that we've been praying for, some we need to pray for, and we can just cry out to God and say, God, hey, what you said would happen has happened, right? Your word has said this would happen. But Lord, your word also says that you're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Yeah. Lord, touch their heart one more time.
Amen.
And I believe He will.
Yeah.
Amen.
What a wonderful God we serve. I'm going to ask everyone to stand tonight. We're going to open up the altar. I don't know what you need tonight.